This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. All right, so it's time. In the wake of something that happened last night and something that's happening today, it's time to have another talk about cultural movements, hall monitor right, and things like that. So let's just get this part out of the way. Tim Walz was speaking last night. He had his family in attendance, wife, kids. One of the people in attendance was his son, 17-year-old son. I'm not even going to give out his name. Go look it up. It's fine. His son, at one point in time, was so overwhelmed with emotion watching his dad speak. His son starts weeping and kind of getting blubbery. But, I mean, it's kind of a sweet moment between a father and son. Look at my dad. I think he even mouths those words. Look at my dad. And that's how it went. The kid was crying, visibly crying, crying a lot on camera, proud of his dad. Okay, so in a vacuum, kind of a sweet moment. Last night and today, maybe you've seen some of this, maybe you even participated in some of it, there have been a bunch of people blasting away, making fun of the son, making fun of him. Oh, look at this kid. Look at, what is he, an idiot? Look at him, he's crying. And because of that response from some people on the right, some others on the right have jumped in to do what the right really does best and hall monitor them. You shouldn't be doing this. He's just a child. So I'm going to tell you a little story, very, very brief little story, and then we'll come back to this because there's a lot of argument about this, a lot of divide on the right on how to approach things like this. You ever heard of the Chicago outfit? The outfit? You've heard of the five mafia families of New York City, I have no doubt. Unless you live under a rock, you understand really the mafia, Italian mafia in America. The central command is the five families of New York. You understand that five families split up New York into different sections and different industries, and that's the Italian mafia in New York. Chicago, though, has historically been different. And that there has been one crime family, one Italian crime family in Chicago. Now, I almost misspoke and said there's been one crime family. That's not true. Even during Al Capone's times, there were Irish gangsters, black gangsters. There have been other powerful organized crime families. But as far as the Italians go, there's been one in Chicago, still around, I should note, called the Outfit, called the Syndicate, depends on who you're talking to, but it really has just that name. It's famous for a lot of things. It's famously more violent than the other Italian mafia families. And it's not that the other ones are peace lovers or hippies here. It's just the Italian Syndicate, the Outfit in Chicago, is very, very violent. And back in the day, this is back in, you know, mid early 20th century, 1900s, they had a guy, William Action Jackson was his name. I know, great name, right? Why was he called Action? Well, he was rumored to have the mind of pretty much a child. He was rumored to be a moron, but he was extremely violent and he was huge. He was enormous. He was overwhelmingly fat, but overwhelmingly strong. And he did debt collection and things like that for the Chicago Outfit. Eventually, the Chicago Outfit thought that this William Action Jackson was going to become an informer, or was already an informer to the FBI. So they had to try to figure this out, work out this problem. Now, again, the Chicago Outfit is more likely to shoot first and ask questions later. That's just historically the way they've done things. But who would you find? Who exactly is going to go take care of your William Action Jackson problem for you? The dude weighed like 350 pounds. That brings us to somebody known as Mad Sam. Mad Sam DiStefano. I don't know. I'm not Italian. I'm poor white trash. I don't know how to say it. I'm going to call it DiStefano. Mad Sam DiStefano was his name. Who was he? Well, he worked for the Chicago Syndicate. And as you may have gathered from his name, he was insane. They think he was certifiably insane. He also loved violence. Loved it. There are rumors, maybe confirmed, you never know. You read one thing one place, another thing another place, that he had a soundproof torture chamber built for him in his house. But Mad Sam, he went out and tracked down Mr. William Action Jackson, the alleged FBI informant, kidnapped him, tied him up. I know there are kids listening, so I'm going to give you the very, very PG version. I could get into a lot more detail, which I will not. There are kids listening. I just don't want to do that. William Action Jackson took a long time to die. It involved cattle prods, meat hooks, baseball bats, shattered kneecaps. When they found William Action Jackson's body, it was in bad shape. He even had a hole in his ear. They don't know what caused that. Probably an ice pick. Who is responsible for that kind of violence? Even a hardened gangster who may be able to bring himself to shoot another gangster in the head. Even a hardened gangster doesn't necessarily have 3 days of torture in him. That's a whole different kind of mindset. But Mad Sam DiStefano, he's all about that life. And so he was given the job, and he did the job, and every little bit of information you could get out of William Action Jackson, Mad Sam DiStefano got out of William Action Jackson. Now, you should know the story, shockingly, doesn't have a happy ending for Mad Sam DiStefano. You ever see the movie Casino? You know the character Joe Pesci played in that movie? That was based off of a real-life mobster. His name was Tony Spilantro. He was also part of the Chicago outfit. Tony Spilantro made his bones in the Chicago outfit by waiting for Mad Sam DiStefano in his garage one day and put a couple double-barreled shotgun rounds into his chest and his arm, and he killed Mad Sam. That's how Tony Spilantro got into the Chicago outfit. Either way, that's not the point of my story. The Chicago outfit eventually, yes, they did have to put down Mad Sam because they believed he had become a liability, but that's not what we're talking about for now. What we're talking about for now is, why would they ever employ such a man anyway? Look, even though the mob is violent, they don't want to kill people publicly. They don't want to be thought of as insane. They don't even really want to be known. Why in the world would you have a crazy, violent sadist like Mad Sam getting mafia paychecks? I'm sure they paid cash, but getting mafia paychecks. Why would you do that? Because they understood. They understood there is value in having an unhinged, unchained dog at your disposal. You may not want to invite him over for dinner. You're not going to invite him to your son's T-ball games. He's not going to come to church with you on Sunday. You wouldn't even invite him there. He can find the Lord on his own. But he has use. There's value in a mad dog. You do want people to be afraid of your organization, do you not? Well, you need guys like that who you don't want to come to your son's T-ball games in order to make people afraid. I'm not going to sit here and defend making fun of a crying 17-year-old. I'm definitely not going to make fun of a crying 17-year-old. I should think it's pretty precious. 17-year-old kid, proud of his dad. I think that's precious. But what I won't do also is I won't sit and blast away at the people who are attacking this kid. It's not because I agree with them. It's not because I even like them. It's none of those things. It's because I understand societal movements, shifting culture, revolutions, counter-revolutions. These are not things that happen politely and comfortably, and we cannot and will not succeed in this cultural movement by only having Captain America inside of the tent. It doesn't work that way. That's not how real life works. Marvel movies are just movies. I swear on my life, it doesn't really work that way. Eventually, you've got to get your freaking hands dirty. Don't spend your energy or your time hall monitoring the people who've gone too far on your own side. That is the reason culture has only shifted left. They never hall monitor their people. And we love doing that to show our virtue, of course. That's all I'm going to say about that. We're going to move on. Let's talk a little bit about life. Why are poor people so much more isolated than rich people today? It's a class divide story. I want to discuss that before we get back to the convention things. Speaking of poor, I understand that times are tough. I understand that it's hard, especially when you need things. You know, it's always something goes wrong in your car whenever your bank account hits zero. It's a guarantee. It's happened to all of us. Everyone knows it. You need a new mattress. Right about the time inflation has priced you out of a new mattress. I get it. Have you considered a MyPillow mattress topper? You can get them as low as $69.98 right now. Significantly less than a new mattress. These things, they are life-changing. They just grab a hold of you and just, you just sink into them. They're so glorious. You'll have the best night's sleep ever. Queen size premium MyPillows, only $19.98. Go take advantage of the big MyPillow sale going on right now. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special Square, use the promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, I want to set politics aside before I get to emails and some other things. I just want to talk about this really quickly. I'm not going to go over charts and graphs and details, but there's a survey out. There's an article out, and I've seen a lot of these. This one was actually done by Survey Center, but there's been a lot of these, Gallup and others, who've done these surveys on the difference in people, difference in socioeconomic classes, and there is one trend that is undeniable right now. Poor people, the poorer you are, the more likely you are to be isolated in your personal life, meaning close, real life friends. The more wealthy you are, or the wealthier, they tend to have more real life friends. And this is something, I only brought this up. There are a lot of reasons for this. One of the main drivers of this, actually my buddy Rob Province, was talking about this earlier, and he made a really great point. He said one of the main drivers of this is everything is so expensive now. Everything you do outside of the home, even going to dinner, you've heard me complain about it before. If I take my family to Red Lobster now, and of course, you know, I do try to go once every week, once every couple weeks. Family of four, look, we're not getting drinks and stuff like that. Family of four, salad, maybe some cheese sticks, and everyone gets a meal. That's $120. That's $130. It just is. That's a family of four at Red Lobster. Everything has become so expensive. As a result, poorer people are more isolated at home because staying at home is cheap. It's cheap. In fact, it's free to stay at home and be on your phone. Stay at home and watch television, watch Netflix. It's cheap. It costs nothing. Stay at home and play video games. Stay at home and do that. And believe me, I'm not indicting any of those things. Being on your phone or watching TV or playing video games, all those things are fun. And I've done all those and do all those in my life time to time. It's totally fine. Whatever you do is fine. I only brought this up because I wanted to remind all of us, myself included. I really, honestly, I'm doing this for me. Myself included, we have to physically interact with other people. It's not that you need 30 friends. You don't even need 10, but you need one. You need one or two. And I mean a physical friend, not somebody you swap messages with on Facebook or something like that. And I'm not dismissing that either. I have social media. That's fine. I'm not doing the old fuddy-duddy thing. Get off Twitter. I'm not doing that. Physical interaction with real friends matters. It does. Look, I'll tell you right now. I am going to get off work. When we're done doing the show tonight, it's not really work. When we're done doing the show, I'm going to go home. I'm going to hug my buddies, talk to them, catch up on their day. They're going to go to bed. My wife, you know, I told you she's been sick. She's got this bad lung thing. She's fine. She's going to be fine. She's got, I think it's bronchitis, losing her voice. So she's useless and tired. She's going to have to go to bed. She's going to have to, I didn't mean useless like that, Chris. She's just, she can't really talk and hang out. She doesn't want to. She's exhausted. So tonight, I could just sit around and watch the DNC by myself. I could. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I kind of want to go home and turn that on and watch the crazies for a little while and think up some stuff for tomorrow and do that. And I don't think I'm going to, because I know that's not healthy for me. And I, you know how antisocial I can be. I think I'm probably going to call my buddy Luis. I'm going to go watch the DNC with him. Physical interaction, I need it. You need it. And I understand if you're poor right now, maybe you're going through it economically and the cards are maxed out and you're out of work. And I know there's a lot of that. I know there's a lot of listeners going through that. I am not in any way telling you, well, just go into debt and go eat Red Lobster. Find ways to get together that don't cost much or any money. There are still things out there, and I know I'm going to sound like an old man. Chris brought it up. It's a really good point. What about board games, man? We still bust out Monopoly? We do. We bust out the Game of Life. We play friggin' Uno, Jenga. These things cost virtually nothing at all. If you already own them, they don't cost anything. Sit around, laugh, play Pictionary. I know all the kids are laughing. Stop laughing. And play Pictionary, laugh with each other in person. Make sure you are physically interacting with other people. In this day and age, we don't have to. It's easy to retreat to your screen and your television and your recliner. And believe me, I'm, like I said, I want to do that. I can't. Okay? That's all. That's it. And maybe you're sitting there saying, Jesse, I don't have the energy. That's just because you haven't started your male vitality stack yet, or female vitality stack. You know, I mentioned the males because that's the one I take. Females, you know, there's a special one for you, too. It's different than the man's. Obviously, we don't want to be jacking your testosterone levels up. But there's a female vitality stack, too, from Chalk. Natural herbal supplements. I'm serious. How's your energy level? We've baked some things into the cake that shouldn't be in the cake. Well, of course, I'm out of gas. I'm 60. It's 4 in the afternoon. Man, you shouldn't be out of gas at 64 in the afternoon. You're not getting something you need. 90 days. 3 months. Go get a Chalk subscription for 3 months. Subscriptions save you a bunch of money. You cancel it anytime. If you don't feel better after 3 months, cancel it. Go get a Chalk subscription and find out how much better you will feel. Go to Chalk.com, Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Get a subscription. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Of course, I know the DNC is still going on, and we'll bring you some of the dome lowlights tomorrow. I'm not dealing with any of that garbage right now. I think back to this little soundbite we played last night, NPR's CEO, the truth. Gosh, it gets in the way.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
We also protected reproductive freedom because it...
Reproductive freedom. I keep thinking about...
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
For 20 years, Kamala Harris has been tough as nails when it comes to securing our border.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
From the redwood forests, love those redwoods, to the Gulf Stream waters, I've seen racism and sexism and income inequality and division. I've not only seen it, at times I've been on the receiving end of it.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
I need to acknowledge the sacrifices of five officers who died as a result of January 6, May, on that day.
Speaking of truth, would-be assassin, this is from the Daily Wire, would-be Trump assassin had encrypted messaging accounts on platforms in three foreign countries, Belgium, Germany, and New Zealand. And the man who's digging into this and finds it extremely strange is Michael Waltz of Florida. Michael Waltz is a former Green Beret. This is a human being who understands the clandestine world very, very well. And he's extremely alarmed by the things he's finding about the guy who almost blew Donald Trump's head off. I know the media doesn't want us to talk about that anymore, but who tried to kill Donald Trump? Who wanted Donald Trump dead? Donald Trump had just received word from the Supreme Court he was going to get immunity. He hadn't yet received the Republican nomination. I know everyone else had dropped out, but he was not the official nominee until the convention. So right after he got immunity and before he was the official nominee, before he even had a vice president, right at that exact little window, somebody was able to get on a rooftop 148 yards from Donald Trump and put a bullet essentially in his head. If Trump doesn't turn his head at the right time, Trump's dead. Oh, and this one's from hot air. I didn't even realize this. It was a local cop who stopped crooks in Butler. It's not like the Secret Service kind of dropped the ball in the beginning and then quickly recovered. They never recovered. If it wasn't for the local cops, who knows what happens there? Jesse, I can't get over COVID and everything that happened during the lockdowns. My cousin was fired from the Massachusetts State Police for not taking the vaccine and is currently in an ongoing lawsuit with the state. Few people I know now have heart conditions directly from the vaccine. Is it stupid of me to assume anyone will ever face accountability? I know the propaganda is strong, but I didn't expect everyone to just move on as if nothing happened. Well, you know, you've heard me talk before about the book Ordinary Men. It's a very famous book, but you've heard me talk about that book before, about the reservists in the German military. These weren't SS hardcore Jew hater guys. These are just reservists. They were accountants and lawyers and things like that. They were from a reserve police battalion, and they went on to commit unbelievable atrocities, shooting Jewish women and children in the head. You name it, they did it. But one of the things that really, really hits you about the end of that book, if you ever pick it up, sorry to spoil it for you, but it's how most of those men, in fact, Nazis in general, real murderous types, didn't see trials, hangings, prison. They just kind of went back to Germany and took the uniform off and went back to work as an accountant. If the year was 1955, 1960, you needed your taxes done, it was that time of year in Germany, you might have gone in and sat down and had your taxes done by a man who had executed 100 children, shot them in the back of the head by hand. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. And it's infuriating when you read it. Like the Japanese portion of this makes me mad too. I read a book, Knights of Bushido. The Knights of Bushido, it was a book. It was written by a Brit, but it chronicled a lot of the Japanese war crimes. Same kind of thing. Yes, there were war criminals that were tracked down and tried and killed afterwards, just like the Germans, but for the most part, gone. The book, here's another book for you. I'm just rattling off books. Unbroken. Yeah, they made a movie about it. I heard it was crappy. I never watched it. The book itself is amazing. It's an amazing story about an American POW in Japan. He held by the Japanese in World War II, shot down, ends up having a great story. I'm not going to spoil that one. I actually want you to go buy that one. That's a great book. But I will spoil this part of it. One of his main tormentors, a sadistic, murderous, evil demon. One of his main tormentors in the prison camp. I think, if I remember right, he went on and owned a bookstore. I think that's what he did. I believe he owned a bookstore in Japan after the war. He was just a book guy. You're just purchasing your latest Japanese comic from a demon. Why? Well, when guilt is spread around enough, you eventually rest on this. Either nobody will be held accountable, or maybe we'll grab a few. You'll grab the Eichmanns of the world. You'll grab Tojo. You'll grab this ringleader or that ringleader. Dr. Mengele is going to get tracked down in the end if he doesn't have a stroke in the ocean in Argentina, which happened. Anyway, you'll get the head cheeses in the end. But if the guilt is felt by enough people, if enough people are guilty of terrible things, then in the end, it is just the nature of man to kind of move on. I'm never going to get my COVID reckoning that I want. You're never going to get the COVID reckoning you want. And I wish you could. I want it. You want it. And you deserve it. You deserve justice. You deserve that reckoning. I deserve that reckoning for what these people did to my countrymen and my country. I deserve it, and you deserve it, and we're never going to get it. And the truth is, we're never going to get it because there is so much guilt to go around. Because Republicans, especially in the beginning of it, they could not grab their ankles fast enough for the medical establishment of this country. For the evil people who want to direct this country, they couldn't bow before the media fast enough. 15 days to slow the spread. I'm vaccinated. Wear your mask. Close the schools. Everyone's going to die. I remember like it was yesterday, pundits, conservative pundits who do what I do. Oh, just wear the mask. How hard is it? No one. I remember it. And all those people now, they're all ashamed, you should know. They're never going to tell you that. They look back on themselves then and they're all ashamed. But because the guilt is so widespread, people are simply going to move on. They don't care. That is what it is. All right. Let's do some couple more emails and then headlines. Let's check out of here. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show before we check out of here until tomorrow, but we will return tomorrow, of course, to do Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and that's always a good time, isn't it? Email me your questions right now. They are piling up. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I will tell you, having glanced at a few already, it's going to be a Friday to remember tomorrow. So tune in Email your questions, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I did get a mean little snicker when I heard Slick Willie Bill Clinton get up and say this.
We're going to walk out of here feeling pretty good, I think. We've got energy. We are happy. We feel like a load's off our shoulders.
A load's off our shoulders, Bill? What load would that be? I love all these not so subtle references to the fact that Joe Biden was a total disaster. They were all stressed about. So they keep saying things like this without kind of realizing how that sounds.
We're going to walk out of here feeling pretty good, I think. We've got energy. We are happy. We feel like a load's off our shoulders.
Oh, that's a load off. Oh, I had to play that one. And then this one is just masterful. Watching these people try to redefine things to suit their own purposes is amazing to watch. Like masculinity, for instance. Listen to this.
Trying here. To own masculinity in the most regressive sort of misogynist way possible. J.D. Vance lecturing everybody on, you know, what a family means, what it means to be a man. Donald Trump obviously has his own version of manhood. To see Tim Walz out there as a man who is just joyfully embracing his role as the potential vice president to the woman, the nation's first female president, is an extraordinary thing. But also to see.
I'll let her keep going, but see already the first thing she cited? This is a new masculinity. It's so much better than that regressive kind. Don't you see? Look how subservient he is to the woman. So masculine.
His son weeping for his father in a deeply tender and emotional way.
And by the way, and I love that you're saying that, because this is about modern masculinity.
Yes. Yeah.
And in the Democratic Party, the coach that is saying that it's important for him as the football coach to be the faculty, you know, partner for the LGBTQ
Gay
Straight Alliance. And he's like, that's something important for me to do, because if a coach is doing it, it's going to have just a little more salience, right? And it's going to help kids not get bullied. I mean, what's really been fascinating is to watch the men of the Democratic Party model a kind of masculinity that is simply 21st century masculinity.
Yeah, it's called femininity. It's not a 21st century masculinity. They're women. That's what they are. Dear J. Nolan Kelly, you know, I shouldn't even said anything. This is what I get. This is what I get for staying stuff. We keep hearing from Democrats how Trump will weaponize the Department of Justice against his opponents. Doesn't this sound like how Dr. Goebbels would say, accuse your opponent of what you're doing? I hate Nazi references because they seem lazy, but this strategy seems too obvious. What better way to combat this than responding, no, you are. He said, P.S. body wash is better than soap. It's not very nice. Well, of course, that's what they do. It's something they've always done. And this is not new to American communism. Mao was doing this. They were all doing this as they were rounding up their political opponents. Stalin was really, really good at this. He would go round up just every Polish person he could find. Anyone with a Polish sounding last name, he would round them up, shoot them in the head, or throw them in a gulag. And then he would go public with these public statements. These Polish people, then they are committing acts of violence against the Russians. We have got to get a handle on this thing. Remember, we've talked about this a million times. The entire history of communism is communists doing horrible things in the false notion of self-defense. It's never actually self-defense. It's always just them hurting all the people they don't like, hurting all their enemies, and they always claim self-defense every single time. Well, I had to. Well, this politician said something I don't like. Someone post his address. They can't help themselves. It's not who they are. It's what they do. Speaking of what they do, how's your dog's energy level? Is your dog too lethargic or hyperactive? Do you have one of those dogs? All the friggin' time. Do you have one of those dogs? You know, that might be a nutrition thing, right? When I tell you to get Rough Greens, all natural nutritional supplement, and when I tell you to pour it on your dog's food, you know that you will see physical differences in your dog. Dog food is brown because it's dead. Get some of that green powder on your dog's food. Your dog, you'll see a difference in his coat. You'll smell a difference in his breath, just like you. You know, have you ever seen somebody, an alcoholic? All they eat is fast food and drink booze. How's their skin look? Right? It comes out of them. Your dog is the same way. Your dog needs Rough Greens. Get a free Jumpstart trial bag. It's free. You just cover the shipping. 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Ford scraps plans for electric SUV amid soft electric vehicle demand. I remember they laid off all those workers, cleared out some plants for the electric vehicle money that Daddy Biden was going to hand to them. Of course, he hands it to them, and there ends up being no market at all for electric vehicles. Yet another gigantic boondoggle with your money. As you can't pay the bills, the government took mass quantities of your money in the name of climate change hoax garbage and handed it out to other people. UN Migration Chief celebrates Joe Biden's migrant strategy and tells Europe to copy it. Yes, just a reminder that the globalist communists are highly, highly invested in bringing the third world into your world because third worlders are much more loyal and much less demanding. Secret Service installs bulletproof glass for Trump's outdoor rally in North Carolina. Oh, so soon, guys? Wow, don't hurt yourself there. Group that pushes finance to blacklist conservatives calls debanking a conspiracy theory. It's the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's exactly really what we were just talking about. They pressure finance companies to take away your bank account because you sell guns or something like that. And then when you bring it up, they say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Postcard finally arrives in Swansea 121 years after it was first sent. I love how they're selling this like it's an inspirational story instead of the stinging indictment on the Postal Service that it actually is. Woman nearly bitten by a tiger after climbing over a fence at a New Jersey zoo. Why do we keep saving these people who climb over the fences in the zoo? That's one of the main entertainment things you have at the zoo. Let her go and let's see how it pans out. I will see you tomorrow for Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.